Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eli Camp, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the last Vital Conversation of 2018. We have really been hard at work, and there's so many things that we've accomplished. I'd just like to mention a few. So we've grown from, I don't know, I think 10 or 15 people on our very first call 3 years ago, to over 1,500 people who are listening and helping and working with the Institute today. This is just so inspiring to me. We have had three incredible Vital Gatherings, and our next one is scheduled for next October, the Vital Gathering 4. We are working very hard to develop a Nutrition for Children online learning program, which we launched just 2 days ago on December the 10th. We have brought in a number of elders of our profession to teach what they know and paired them with students and recent graduates and doctors who have been in practice that were looking for something. They were looking for something, and that something is a vitalistic approach to practicing medicine. We're going forward to many great things in the future, and we hope you stay with us and help us grow and help us preserve a legacy. And with that, I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Jim Sensenig, who I'm sure you all know. In fact, I'm sure you know all of these people. Dr. Jared Zeff, Dr. Tishdick Cronenberg, and Dr. Aviva Werken. And with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to the four of you.
Thank you, Dr. Camp. Welcome, everybody, to another edition or episode of the Vital Conversation, where we are celebrating the healing power of nature in our lives and in our practices and in our educational process. And thank you for that update for the Institute at this point. And today, I guess we just, the four of us, want to chat a little bit about why we are where we are and how excited we are that we have grown as much as we have. I don't remember that first conversation with 15 people. I thought it was a few less, but it's nonetheless, it's very, very exciting to know that now there are over 1,500 people who are accessing the Vital Conversation on a regular basis in many different countries around the world, and listening to what has been said about and what we are talking about with vitalism. We learned just a few minutes ago, or a little while ago, I should say, that one of the videos that was posted after our Vital Conversation 3, this apparently is a video of Dr. Zeff, got over 60,000 hits. So it's really incredible to know what the interest is in what we're talking about in the Institute, with a different approach to medicine and one that respects the way in which the body heals. And I think that's the basis. It's not so much that we want to talk about or beat to death the word vitalism, but we are physicians who understand that healing is a natural phenomenon. It has a natural direction or flow to it. And the physician's job is to assist in that correction of the underlying imbalance, which brings us back to a normal structure or function insofar as that is possible. That is very, very different than the dominant way of looking at medicine, where the symptoms are treated in a way that they are the problem, and a medicine, usually always, if not always, toxic to the individual, is used to suppress those symptoms. It's really interesting to me that the interest is as broad as it is, and that can only be, or not maybe only, but that certainly underscores for me the idea that conventional medicine is not meeting the expectations or the needs of most people today. But even if that were the case, there is a different way to look at things, and that's the one that we're trying to keep alive for the younger doctors in our profession and other professions, and for the public whom we ultimately serve. I'm going to share an anecdote, and then I'm going to shut up. And that is, I had a new patient. I had a 13-year-old young boy brought in yesterday with a number of complaints, who had been seen by a number of doctors in my area here, including a very well-known medical school that's right down the street from me. And the mother told me that she wanted him to be seen by a naturopathic doctor because she wanted a more scientific approach. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to ask each of the others who are here, what is it that's so darn exciting about this vitalistic, holistic, constitutional, ecological, biological approach to health and healing? What is it that excites you so much, and what do you think about this?
I gave a little talk last Saturday evening, or Friday evening, I forget, Saturday evening, at the OANP pharmacy conference and annual conference. And
may I interrupt for those who are listening, OANP is the Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians.
And one of the central theme of my talk is the thing that drives me in practice. I'm 71 years old. I have no desire or intention to retire. People ask me, what are your retirement plans? My plans are not to retire. And the reason is because of the joy I get from watching people heal. And the healing, as you know, I'm not talking about suppressing symptoms. I'm talking about the level of health of my patients rises up and their diseases fall away as that process occurs. And it's that, the joy I get from watching that and watching it reaffirmed day after day, week after week, year after year. I've been doing this now. I'm in my 40th year. That's what drives me. I mean, I like to get paid. I need to get paid. That's really important and good. But the real pay for me is watching people heal. I had a woman brought me a woman who's an ER nurse and tried to hide that fact for a while, brought me her husband yesterday. Last spring, he suddenly got ill, had a fever. After that, they noticed he started to lose neurological function. She, being an ER nurse, knew where to go, what to do. She's taken him to all the specialists in the Northwest, the best hospitals, the best specialists. And finally, somebody figured out he had white matter disease of the brain. And the solution is what? Nothing. There's no treatment in the conventional system. And I talked to her about that. I talked to her about, in conventional medicine, as you know, the thing is to identify the disease or the pathology and then treat it. And that method doesn't work here. There's no treatment for this. And she acknowledged that. That's why she brought him to me eventually yesterday. I gave him a homeopathic remedy. I recommended some things to try and heal the brain and quell the inflammation. And they're going to get a diet. I got a call last night that he's seen improvement for the first time since last March from that simple remedy that I gave him. For the first time, the pain is gone. Now, nothing that I gave him is either substantial, as you understand what I mean, it was a homeopathic medicine, nor is it suppressive. It's exciting the healing potential in him. And it's that kind of thing which gives me such great joy. I want to keep doing this, and I want to learn more.
You know, one of the things I want to just, I guess, ask, or rhetorically here, is that those of us who are on the call today, all hopefully understand what you're talking about. And this sounds like the reason that many of us do what we do, of course. But, you know, to some persons who might be listening, this sounds like real heresy, because in the conventional medical system that has unlimited resources, no substantial competition of any kind, has the blessing of our society, our legislators, our government, has research institutes that go from here to there and back again, and they do not have any successful intervention for not only this problem, but for so many other problems. And you're telling us that with the simple understanding of how the body works, that it's possible to reverse these problems and restore health, as we are admonished to do over and over again by our predecessors, that our role is to restore health. Really? I mean, what do you say to the skeptic who says that the gazillions of dollars, the resources, the manpower that's spent on conventional medicine finds itself impotent in these situations? And it's not just this one. It's eczema and anxiety and low back pain and. How can that be? Anyone?
Well, I'd like to interject here, Jim. This is Dr. Letitia Dick Cronenberg, and I want to highlight some of the misconceptions about Western medicine, and also point out that for our colleagues and young doctors going into naturopathy, I want them to not be swayed to think that Western medicine is somehow better or stronger than naturopathy, mm-hmm. because it's not. I'm reading a book right now called How We Do Harm, A Doctor Breaks Ranks About Being Sick in America. And this is written by Otis Webb Brawley, Dr. Brawley, MD. He is, I believe, currently the president of the American Cancer Society. And he's writing a book that really points out the misgivings of Western medicine, which we talk a lot about on the Vital Conversations and in our teaching of our naturopathic doctors. So let me pull a few quotes of this. And Dr. Jim, I have heard you say these things. It's really amazing that this is written by a medical doctor, because some of this mm-hmm. has almost come straight out of your mouth. So I'm going to quote him here. He says, when you look at outcomes, our healthcare system, meaning Western medicine, technology notwithstanding, is closer to communist states, both former and current, than to other technologically advanced nations. Which is what you have said, Dr. Jim, when you say that your medicine mm-hmm. really hasn't advanced other than technology.
Right.
Another quote from this book, Americans spend 2.5 times more on healthcare than on food.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Another quote here. Let me get to it. And this is talking about evidence-based medicine. He says, what happens when professional societies of doctors who perform extensive medical procedures issue evidence-based guidelines that are anything but evidence-based guidelines? Instead, the purpose of many of these documents is to protect the specialty's financial stake in the system. And then that's it, in a nutshell. It's a for-profit. Healthcare in Western medicine is an industry. It's for profit, and it's not for the patient. Nor do they even understand how to support the patient in healing. And that's what naturopathy is. We support the body to heal. And it's really amazing for me to read this book by a medical doctor who's in the midst of this in oncology and mm-hmm. stating that, hey, he knows this whole system is really fixed for financial gain. And I'm frustrated that our naturopathic profession and many of our schools want to support that model when it is really a financial model and it's not a model of healing for the patient. Mm-hmm. I think that's where my frustration comes in with the colleges and what I see happening in our naturopathic profession. And I think that's why the Vital Gathering and the NMI is so critical in keeping our focus of what naturopathy is and what we offer to our patients, because it is so than what Western medicine can offer.
Mm-hmm. I think in a way you are addressing the question that I brought up there about how is it that a system of medicine that has all the privileges and resources of the conventional system finds itself so wanting. And, of course, this is the basic issue we want to talk about, is we understand in what we're calling vitalism or naturopathic medicine, or sometimes I think of it as a more ecological, biological, scientific medicine, or like what Dr. Louise Edwards says, what could be more scientific than basing your intervention on basic sciences, right? Understanding how you can read, right? In a nutshell, I think it's because the conventional system, there's a lot of criticisms of it, and we don't need to add to that necessarily, but one of them is that they're looking through the wrong end of the telescope. Let's forget the finances and the politics and the motivation and so on, but looking through the wrong end of the telescope, that is to say, not understanding the basic principles that we hold as the tenets and the doctrines of vitalism, wherein, again, we assert that healing and disease, its corollary, are, in fact, natural phenomenon that follows a certain pattern. I know Dr. Zeff likes to use the word, or I think I heard him use the word before, it flows, that there's a certain flow to the healing process, and when that flow is interrupted, we end up with imbalances and disease. And our job is to help to support that and get out of the way. And as he just said, this is the thing that makes going to work, so to speak, or going to practice, or helping other people so joyful. And it's interesting to me that the author that you're quoting Dr. Dick, there are many people in conventional medicine who are now beginning to, articulate the frustration and the limitations that they see in that system too.
Right.
But that's nothing new.
No.
So go ahead.
There's a fiction at play that conventional medicine, with all of its wonders, is scientific, and naturopathic medicine is not. There's a kind of a criticism being leveled at us now on a fairly high level that we are not scientific and we need to become scientific. I want to tell you a little story. A few years ago I studied with Dr. Jerry Tennant. Tennant is a medical doctor. He's one of the people that developed LASIK surgery. He's an ophthalmologist. And in the course of developing LASIK surgery, he said, we did thousands of these LASIK surgeries, and we had no protection. We didn't understand that there were some potential problems, but we were essentially, frying the corneas and breathing the vapors. And in the process of doing that, he became very ill. Finally, it was determined that he had encephalitis from three different viruses that he had inhaled from doing these surgeries. And he got so sick, he said he couldn't function. And what he found first was that his medical colleagues had nothing to offer him. He said he was lucid about 2 hours a day. And he knew finally that if he was going to heal, he was going to have to heal himself. So he realized that he was going to have to start from the beginning. He needed to understand first, how does a cell heal? So he went back to basic physiology, basic anatomy, and he realized that healing required certain elements. It required nutrients. In order to get the nutrients, you had to have a good digestion. And so he began to work on improving his digestion. He began to work on detoxification. And to do this, he looked to some old literature. He looked around, and ultimately he healed himself. And he did it by essentially rediscovering and reconstructing naturopathic medicine from scratch, from the basic uh-huh. sciences of medicine. And uh-huh. he now practices medicine as essentially a naturopath. And he's had to protect himself, which he's done legally, because the medical boards tried to shut him down. But what he did, and here's the point, naturopathic medicine is an inherent reality that is discoverable. It's based fundamentally on the sciences of physiology and all the things that we know, the basic medical sciences. And he did rediscover it, reconstructed naturopathic medicine from scratch, and it worked, and it healed him. Our medicine will emerge because it's real, and it's fundamentally based, rooted in how things really are. That's, to me, the essence of what is scientific. Science isn't, you know, using a test tube. Science is observing nature and finally seeing the patterns and articulating them and then testing those things and seeing what emerges. And that is how naturopathic medicine originated. And he's an example of that.
Mm-hmm. And one might also add that it originated as a profession. Not only by those observations of how healing occurs and what's necessary to restore health, but also in, to a certain degree, in response to or in contrast to the development or the growing development of allopathic medicine, meaning the therapeutic rationale that treats symptoms with suppressive interventions. And so the physicians that organized themselves originally in a school of medicine called naturopathy were those who were articulating the principles that you're talking about now. And it's interesting that when I'm sure his is not the only case, and there are many of them more, accessible now, as many medical physicians and others start to, quote, heal themselves because they're finding that the conventional system has failed them. And in doing so, they're rediscovering these principles, which we are so lucky to have had handed down to us by those who practiced in this way before. Dr. Workin, are you there? Do we still have Dr. Workin with us?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Oh, there you are. We couldn't hear you for a moment. All right.
Sorry about that.
Your response?
What do I even comment on? There's so many.
Oh.
You know, the conversation around our profession not being scientific is one that I think is really based on smear campaigns and people's ignorance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyone who is familiar with practicing vitalistic medicine already knows that we use the basic sciences with every single patient interaction. And I think sometimes that doesn't come across when we're prescribing a vitamin or a mineral. Most people tend to think of it as, oh, just a pill to take or a supplement. They may not really understand that we're evaluating their anatomy and their physiology and their biochemistry, and we're looking for where those deficiencies might be that are impacting all of these different metabolic pathways and working on that microscopic level. And without that understanding, I think it's easy to have a misperception around what we're doing. Obviously, that's just one example.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. That's a very good example. And can I interrupt you there to say this? One of my teachers that you've all heard about before, Dr. Broadwell, would have said that when people complained, that is to say when students complained about the depth to which we had to understand the basic sciences, he admonished us by saying, This is the basis of your medicine. You will be going back to basic physiology, anatomy, biochemistry, immunology, you name it. You will be going back to these sciences in every clinical interaction that you have if you're practicing correctly. In conventional medicine, the basic sciences have become nothing more than a rite of passage because it doesn't guide the therapeutic intervention. All you do there is make a diagnosis and then use the, quote, standard of care, which is whatever medicine everybody else uses. But the point here being that if you're practicing correctly, there won't be a day in your life where you won't have to go back to some basic physiology, anatomy, biochemistry, or other science, or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So that's just another way of saying what you just said.
Okay, thank you. You're good at doing that.
It was passed on to us 40, 50 years ago. And, of course, hundreds of years ago by these other writers. Yes.
Nice. And if I may have a minute to touch upon some of the other things that you all have been mm-hmm. talking about. You know, Dr. Tisch mentioned a lot of the corruption and greed that can exist in the healthcare field overall, which is really heartbreaking when your goal is helping people. And I think that that's casting even more of a shadow on the conventional allopathic or mechanistic approach. And I think the mechanistic allopathic approach definitely, quote unquote, works for a lot of people. But there are many of us where it didn't work and we were seeking something different. When I was younger and growing up, I didn't want to be a doctor at all, but I always knew that I wanted to help people. And it wasn't until I went through my own personal experience with my health and finally finding a vitalistic practitioner that I really understood a different paradigm of health and healing and what's possible with health and healing. And having experienced it and then being able to offer it to more people fills me with such incredible joy. And it's really, for me as a physician, applying all of the philosophy of vitalism in the context of the sciences and the art of medicine, it's so joyful. To me, it's almost blissful because you get to be a part of people saying not just that they're not in pain anymore, but this is the best they've ever felt. People who are looking for this other way. And the other thing that Dr. Zeff just, you know, reminded me of too is I'm seeing this more and more where I'm meeting people in all these different ways who say they're navigating their everyday in pain, in fatigue. They have all these things, and the doctors have told them that there's nothing else that can be done. And mm-hmm. I can't imagine how hopeless people feel when they're suffering physically. Not, you know, we can put aside the emotional and spiritual side for a minute, but physically suffering every day without any hope. And I bring that up because once I learned about vitalism, I finally understood that this philosophy can be applied universally. It doesn't matter what somebody comes in with, whether it's migraines or diabetes or irritable bowel syndrome or eczema, we have tools that we can apply universally. So no matter what, we have this ability to help people. When you derive joy from helping people, I can't think of anything better than that. So that's why I do what I do.
Does anybody want to comment? Because, you know, one of the things that you remind me of as you say that, the joy that we find in this work or in this practice, I don't even want to call it work, that's a slip of the tongue, in what we do, the joy that drives us and the joy that rewards us is what most people are seeking not only in their healthcare, I think, but also what those who are drawn to naturopathic medical schools are seeking in their education. And one of the things that's been striking to me in this last year or so is the number of comments that we've gotten at the Institute by students and by newer or younger, or I'm not sure, I don't want to say younger, but people who've been practicing for shorter amounts of time. But particularly students, let me start with that. The number of comments that we've gotten from students who have said, you know, I was ready to quit this program, or I was thinking about going back to school for something else, or I decided I was going to do this or that, because this program was not meeting my expectations. I was being taught conventional medicine. The number of people who found this vital conversation and whose excitement and potential joy in practice had been reignited, and who have decided to stay with their schooling in order to be able to be a vitalistic naturopathic doctor, astounds me. The number of people that have applied to or have written to us is kind of overwhelming. In fact, I've interviewed a few of them on this vital conversation.
And if I could add to that. Oh, you go first, and then I'll add to.
Well, just one other thing. The same thing is happening. The number of newer practicing docs, I want to stay away from younger because they may not be younger, but people who've been practicing for a few years and finding themselves to be frustrated or unsuccessful because they are using essentially the dominant model, those who have discovered or rediscovered perhaps the principles of naturopathic medicine have found that they're getting better results, they're getting better outcomes, they're more successful in their practice because they are more successful in their restoring the patients to health, as we keep talking about. And so that joy is being reignited in not only those of us who are talking about this, but those who are hearing us talk about it. And I think one of the things that we can be really excited about with what we're doing at the Naturopathic Medicine Institute is revivifying that conversation and reestablishing that excitement and that joy. And like Dr. Zeff says, if you're doing this every day, why would anybody in their right mind want to quit? I mean, it seems to me that if you want to retire and go do something else, it's because you're not doing what you like doing, you know? It's like if you're doing what you like, if you're doing what turns you on, if you're doing what excites you, and if you're being of service to your fellow humans, what else is there? Okay, so I cut you off. Dr. Where can I cut you off?
Oh, no, you didn't really cut me off. I was just going to interject. I received a lot of different feedback from the last gathering, and one of the things for me, too, that's thrilling about the gatherings is being in a room full of like-minded practitioners and connecting to other practitioners across the globe. It's awesome. So some of the feedback I got, too, was how accessible all of these physicians and elders are being for students and doctors, and I think it's one of the really unique components that the NMI is creating for our profession right now is this shift, because yes, we have conferences and we have CE and training, but there's a newer level of accessibility of sharing experience and wisdom and sharing all of our knowledge for this medicine. Learning from each other, teaching each other, it's been absolutely thrilling. And I just think it's phenomenal, and it's really helping doctors feel more confident and students feel more confident about being a naturopathic physician and being in practice and really knowing all the things they have to offer.
I want to pick that up just a little bit. As I mentioned a minute ago, I've been in practice. This is my 40th year in practice. I know that I don't know an awful lot. And I have reached a level that I consider myself a journeyman physician. I pretty much know my way around. I know how to build the house like a journeyman carpenter. But one of the things I really like about NMI is, for me also, I go into a room or a call or whatever it is with colleagues who also are experienced, and I get to learn from them. I get to add to what I know. I would say that I leave these conferences with a whole new set of information that then I can apply in my own work. And when I listened to the call, I listened to Dur Elmore on the call that happened this last week. I picked up more information from him. I do every time I listen to these things. So even with 40 years of experience, I still have a lot more to learn. And this is the place where that that learning, that teaching is concentrated. And I find it important for me, for my own professional growth, to be involved in this.
You know, that's an interesting point. And actually, you know, one of the things that I think about is that if you think of medicine, the practice of medicine, as an art form, not a science, you know, persons have heard me say this before. One of my teachers, Dr. Terska, would have said that medicine is not a science. It's an art that's informed by the science. If that's true, then I have to agree 100% with what you just said, Dr. Zaff, that we all are on this journey of perfecting the art, and that means constant learning and learning from each other, as opposed to feeling like we've mastered something. I think that's more the idea in conventional medicine, where if you've done enough colonoscopies, you've probably mastered the colonoscopy, right? I mean, what can you do new in a colonoscopy? But and you're considered an expert at that point. But I don't know of anybody in this profession who thinks of themselves as an expert, because we're all on a constant journey of learning and learning from each other. It also is something that I've noticed where we often contrast these two schools of medicine. In conventional medicine, there's always this, well, at a present, there's an idea that you can present information at a conference, for example, and somehow that's going to advance your practice. What I mean by that is the person who's presenting the information, and we've seen this in some of our own conferences, are people who are still in school or still residents or still learning, and they're holding themselves out as experts in something, like vaccination, for example, or in some other area. And their learning is based on learning the information from someone else. It's not from having applied it themselves. I guess what I'm trying to say is that if medicine is an art, then you want to learn from those who have been practicing the art, as opposed to learning from people who are just promulgating more information. So it's not about information. It's about applying it in a way that is consistent with the outcomes that we're looking for. So I couldn't agree with you more. I feel the same way. I'm the same age. I've been in practice the same amount of time. And I feel like I sort of know what I'm doing.
Right.
I could build that, you know. Like, you know, I tell students sometimes, I remember the day in my life, it's a little personal thing here, I remember the day, I remember where I was sitting and what I was doing in my career as a physician, where I said to myself, huh, I think I can relax a little bit. I feel like I'm beginning to understand how this works. And that was after 25 years of practice.
Right.
And that was maybe the first step. If I use your analogy, that's where I went from the, what would the first stage be? The apprentice, right? And that was the day I became the journeyman, if I want to use those terms, right? And the thing that's so exciting for me is exactly what you're talking about as well, is that we can learn from each other. And I'm excited that we have been able to pull that off in the NMI, because, like you, I go to these conferences and I think, well, I didn't know that. I like it. You know, it's a way to keep growing and expanding, as opposed to you know, feeling like you don't have anything else to learn or to give.
And
so, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, remember when I graduated and felt like I really didn't know anything. I did not feel prepared to be a physician. And I was in my residency, and one day Dr. Sensenig said to me, the content you got in medical school was great. You learned the sciences. You learned the natural therapies. What you're missing is the context. You're missing this philosophical approach and how to use all this knowledge and all these tools. And in applying that is how I have been able to best help my patients, and talking to colleagues about, you know, where they've struggled with their confidence and in practice. And it feels so exciting to be a part of creating a solution where we're all being exposed to so much more knowledge and helping people and helping really support all of us in our ability to serve our communities.
And let's talk for a minute about who our community is. And I think it's important because we are, as the Naturopathic Medicine Institute, we are a nonprofit organization under the tax code of the United States. And our ultimate constituency here, or our ultimate beneficiaries, is the public. We are doing what we're doing to have an impact at the level of the public and the health of the public. And so we are striving to do what you and I and the rest of us are talking about this morning. We are providing an educational platform for, at this time, we are providing an educational platform for physicians and students, or student physicians, I should say, and even seasoned physicians to learn more and sharpen their skills as clinicians based on the model that we keep referring to. But our ultimate goal, and I should say, we also are planning, and we're going to be rolling out with more vigor in the coming year, our attempts or our plans for educating the public. That is to say, we want to bring this same information to the public in terms of not only understanding vitalism and its application, but the very information they need to be able to do that. Courses in nutrition and self-healing and self-help, help with, you know, understanding at a basic level how they can use some of these modalities themselves, how they can take charge of their own health, and so on and so forth. And we're also focused on moving towards clinical settings where we can provide the public with the kind of care that we're talking about. So we're not just doing this in order to sharpen or enhance the skills of the physician, but to literally make a change in the healthcare system as it regards those who want to avail themselves of this way of understanding medicine. And I don't know how I got off on that. Somebody must have said something there that made me think about that. But this is a really exciting journey that we're on. And Dr. Kish, you haven't said too much about this. What do you think?
Let me jump in here. You know, what you're talking about basically is the Hippocratic Oath. When you get back down to it, it's first do no harm, and it's doctor as teacher. And I have to say, one of the best things I love about NMI is that I get to teach now. I get to teach what I know to these amazing young doctors, new doctors, and I get to learn too, which is really cool for me because I haven't been in an arena in all these medical conferences I go to. I'm not in an arena where I actually can take the information back and use it because it's not applicable to my patients. So now what we're creating is something that's applicable. And, you know, I think my goal as a practitioner is always to teach something to my patient. And I love doing that because they really don't understand. You know, they don't understand normal physiology. They don't understand how their body works. They don't understand that they can't poison their body back to health with pharmaceuticals. It doesn't work that way. You know, and I think they know that, but they don't really comprehend. And they still think, well, I can take this, and it just stops that symptom. But you have to educate them that you didn't cure the problem. You just drove it deeper. And, you know, I like to tell my patients that their body is only made up of the food they eat, the water they drink, the air they breathe. Those are the only things that will nourish themselves. Nothing else will. So you, to heal, you have to get back to the bare, very basic fundamentals of physiology. What heals those cells? What is going to empower your body to heal? And those are the therapeutics that we use, and that's what naturopathy really is. It is very simple, but very elegant.
You know, you said something that made me think about this. You said that most people don't know, and I would agree. Certainly not to the level that you would expect a well-educated physician to understand, and rightly so. However, I think we're also living at a time where many people, at least the people who consult us and the people who practice like us, we're living at a time when people do know that there's something lacking or something that's not quite ringing true for them with conventional medicine.
For example, I think... It's failing them.
It's failing them.
Yeah.
And they intuitively know that there's more to the picture than just taking drugs. They understand, or at least they feel that they can see a relationship between all of their symptoms, right? It's not just that they have, you know, back pain and migraines and indigestion, but somehow these things are related to each other, and somehow the conventional model is not addressing that, or like you just said, it's failing them. So they know that there's another way. They may not be able to articulate it in a way that you and I would, but let me say it a slightly different way. I think the public, or at least the educated public, is better informed about what is going on with them than many of their doctors are. I mean, who was it that just said a while ago, you know, I guess Dr. Zeff, that how many times have people been told there's nothing that can be done for you? I just had a patient here last week who is a college professor at one of the many universities around my area here, who consulted me, and I told him after his first visit that I thought he had an endocrine problem, and I laid that out for him and told him what I thought we should do about it. His wife decided that he ought to see the specialists at the local famous medical school. He saw two different endocrinologists, both of which he said, these are his words now, not mine, he said that they said, you do not fit easily into any box that I'm aware of. You know, I can't just check off a diagnosis here, so I can't help you. And you see what I mean? He didn't fit in, fit squarely into somebody's box, so they were unable to provide an intervention. I think the public's wising up to or realizing that they know, they suspect that there's more than meets the eye there. But on the other hand, I'm not trying to criticize what you're saying, because the public tends to be limited because, you know, we don't teach nowhere in our education system, at least in this country, nowhere in our educational system do we teach people about how their body works or why it's important. Like you just said, the only things that are going to nourish your cells are the food that you eat, the water you drink, and the air that you breathe. How could it be more basic than that? And yet we don't teach that anywhere in our educational system to anybody.
No, it's not supported in any part of society, really. And so people find that on their own, and then they seek out naturopathy because they need something to support them when the system, Western medicine, fails them. So that's why this, what we do, is so exciting and so critical to healing the planet, to healing our patients, to healing our world, to healing our societies, to healing our politics, to healing our our environment, to healing, you know, for us to exist, to continue to exist on this planet, there has to be a change. And in the thinking of the society, and I think we are the key component in that, if it's going to happen, if we're going to save ourselves for the future.
Those are pretty lofty goals. But I have to agree with you. I think that which we are doing in medicine, we being our culture, in medicine, in finance, in education, in politics, in the environment, in every area you can think of, is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And until we change that.
Naturopathy is kind of the permaculture of medicine. It's you have to take that view of nourishing from the soil up for everything to heal. And the laws of nature will prevail one way or another, whether we're here or not, to see that. But and those laws will always come through. As you said previously in the conversation, they're the laws because they're the laws. And
right.
You either comply by the law or you don't, and then you face the consequences. So those laws are true, and the truth about that will always come through. And that's why naturopathy will always survive, because it's based on truth.
That's what Dr. Tennant discovered. When he had to heal himself, he never heard of naturopathy. He rediscovered it by going back to the fundamental basics of how does a body heal. And he went to the cell, and he had to rediscover what is nutrition, how does a cell function, where does nutrition come from, and in doing that journey of discovering how healing works, he rediscovered naturopathy and healed himself. And that's inherent in how things function. You know, that this question about science is very interesting to me. Hippocrates said, okay, the first aphorism of Hippocrates goes like this: life is short, the art is long, the occasion fleeting, experience fallacious, or experience treacherous, and judgment difficult. And what he's describing there is how we discover medicine. We don't have a lot of time. I'm 71 years old, and I feel like I now have a basic set of information, and there's so much I don't know. And where am I going to get it? I have to get it from the people who know. To me, the idea, like you were saying a minute ago, that science as characterized by journal articles, which can be taught to me by someone who's never seen a patient, to me, the gold standard is not the double-blind, placebo-controlled crossover trial or the meta-analysis. To me, the gold standard is, what did the older doctors do? To me, the gold standard is finding the older doctors who've done it and asking them, how did you do it? And learning from them, calling Dr. Bastier, calling Dr. Terska, hanging out with Dr. Dick, talking to Dr. Broadwell. That's how I learned what works. And that's what we're doing in NMI.
Yes, we're passing it on. We're passing this knowledge on. It's the knowledge base that will continue to grow, and we expect that to grow, you know, this knowledge base to grow. And that's the beauty of what we've set, of what we've set in motion.
You know, Linmar said that the philosophy of natural healing is based on the sciences, dealing with newly discovered and rediscovered natural laws and principles, and with their application to the phenomenon of life, death, health, disease, and cure. And he goes on to say that a student of natural medicine and kindred subjects would do well to study closely these principles, as they contain the pith and the marrow of our philosophy, and they greatly facilitate our understanding of cure. And so there it is again. They have the science based on these principles as they're applied to life, death, health, disease, and cure. And Dr. Tisch and Dr. Zeff, this idea that these basic principles hold because they're basic principles, because they're the, quote, laws of nature, and they're immutable, simply call upon us to pay attention to them or suffer the consequences.
And they're discoverable because they're they emerge from the observation of nature.
And isn't that what science is?
That's what science truly is, the observation of nature, and in this case, the observation of the nature of health, disease, and healing.
Dr. Wirtgen, you're
yes.
silent.
I was just thinking how much I love you three so much.
I think the feeling is mutual. I'll say the same.
Thank you. Well, it's just really wonderful to be a part of something like this. And even though I am coming at this from a different level of experience than the three of you, to share in these goals and these visions for what we can do is just so there are so many things happening on the planet right now that we can be upset about, but to be focusing on the solutions gives me the action steps and helps me feel more hopeful for our future. And thank you guys. Thank you. I know this might be silly for me to say, but thank you for your willingness to teach and to preserve this medicine and to persevere through times when you weren't being supported for your knowledge and your wisdom and your incredible healing tools.
Thank you.
So I love you and thank you.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Yeah. Well, and isn't that you know, in part because we really find the joy in what we're doing here, not only in the practice but in the teaching and in the community that we are privileged to be such a part of. It's just so exciting. It's hard to restrain your passion in this regard. At least it is for me, right?
Oh, go ahead. You go first, Dr. Tisch.
I was just going to say, I'm just so excited about NMI and where we're going with this and how we're touching other doctors' lives and patients' lives. And I just can't say enough. I'm just so excited about the next year and all the projects we've got planned. This is where I need to be, and I finally found my home. I just want to say thanks for that.
Wow.
You know, part of it, too, if you look back at the Oath of Hippocrates, part of the oath that I took when I became a doctor, which was administered to me by Ravi Sami, was to teach this art.
Mm-hmm.
By precept, lecture, and every other mode of instruction, I will impart a knowledge of the art to disciples bound by stipulation and oath according to the law of medicine. Part of our job is to pass it on, and that was incorporated in the Art of Hippocrates 2,500 years ago, in the Oath of Hippocrates.
Very well said. Any other comments? I think we're coming up close to the time when we have to end our conversation for the day. So any closing comments by any of you? Or Dr. Camp, if you're still listening to our conversation here, any comments from you?
I have been listening. I think you all have said this in a roundabout way. I'd like to add, because, you know, in my service as executive director for however long that might be, I get to read most of the emails that get sent in, and when I tell you we get hundreds of emails, I'm not exaggerating. And it strikes me over and over and over again, the comments of, I used constitutional hydrotherapy for the first time, and I saw a difference. Or I did it correctly for the first time. And right? And while I was seeing some benefit from it before, holy cow, now that I'm doing it like I'm supposed to, it's amazing. Or the doctors that write in and students who are on shift who write in and say, I prescribed my first homeopathic remedy and the patient responded before they even left the office or the shift. Mm-hmm. On and on and on that I read these. And I think you all said this in so many words, but I just wanted to say it again because I get to read all of those. And mm-hmm. it makes my heart sing that we're making this kind of difference.
That's great. That's great. That's what it's all about. Thank you.
Yep. Well, you're right. We're on the hour. Thank you all so much for being here, being present, being willing to teach, being willing to learn yourselves to make it better every day for all of us practicing naturopathic medicine all over the world. And
well,
to all of you for showing up. Did you want to say something, Dr. Sensenig?
I did.
Okay.
Thank you for your thank you, but let's not forget that this is possible only because we have hundreds, maybe perhaps now thousands, according to, if you look at our Facebook page, of people who are turning to the Institute to learn and be part of this community. So I want to say thank you to all of you who are part of this growing community, who are excited about what we're doing. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tell your friends and your colleagues, and to the non-physician public who are listening to us as well, and that incredible group of people who we call our volunteers, the many tens of volunteers. What's the word I want? We have just about, what, now 50 or 60, maybe close to 100 people volunteering in various administrative and infrastructure tasks, all of them, every one of them, as important to the overall success of what we're doing as the others. No one is doing less or more important work than anybody. All of those volunteers are part of the community that is being built here and share in the excitement and the values that we hold dear. And we can't thank you enough for being part of the effort to build this community that hopefully will continue to make the kind of changes that we're talking about.
Thank you so much for saying that, because I just want to add that it's the solution is not the four of us. The solution is all of us collectively. And I think that's also part of the joy I feel at the gatherings, is knowing that there are so many others out there being a part of this solution. And the more we involve the public and our community and getting them involved in it, it's growing. And there's so many of us out there. And I'm so grateful for that. And obviously so grateful for all the volunteers. So just adding to what Dr. Simpson just said.
Amen.
Well, I have say thank you too, right? Thank you to everybody. Another thank you, and a happy holidays. And, you know, join us in 2019. We're going to kick it off January 9th with a call from your executive committee to update you on how the Nutrition for Kids campaign is going and what we have to look forward to in 2019. And then our first Vital Conversation will be January 16th, and we will send out an announcement on who that's going to be. And I think that's all I have, folks.
Okay, so anyone else? Dr. Zeff, Dr. Tisch, Dr. Workin, any comments?
No, just you know, to all those people listening, happy holidays, happy new year, looking forward to being with you all next year. And I want to particularly thank Eli Camp and again, all the volunteers for the fact that this is happening. We struggled for over a decade to try and figure out how to do this kind of thing, and all of a sudden, here it is, and it's exploding, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful.
I want to echo that. Boy, you guys, I think, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years ago, I think we started these talks between Dr. Zeff and Dr. Sensenig and I and a couple others to figure out how to bring this forward, and we had a couple false starts. And Eli, it's really with your vision and inspiration, and I want to thank you so much for doing this. I just want to cry because this is so amazing, and thanks to everybody else who helps. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You know, my humbleness is that I know for sure we couldn't have done this without our public, without our volunteers, and without the people who actually experience vitalism in its amazing glory. Okay, I think we should let everybody get back to what they're doing now at the holidays, yes?
Yes.
Happy holidays.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.